This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Southeast Asia has been cloaked in a thick haze for months, which is known to have an adverse effect on human health, the climate and the economy, all due to illegal forests and agricultural fires set in order to clear land for Indonesian plantations for the fraction of the cost compared to less harmful forest clearing practices. But humans aren't the only ones suffering. Many do not realize thousands of orangutans have also fled their forest homes, which have been engulfed by the fires. The primates share 97% of their DNA with humans. Jacqueline Sunderland Groves is the deputy CEO at the Borneo Orangutan Survival Foundation, based in Kalimantan.
Over the past few weeks, we've saved up to 15 orangutans, and the teams are actually out on rescue missions still as we speak. We're rescuing orangutans of all ages and in all conditions at the moment. And so far, the rescues have included at least 5 babies and a pregnant female. We've rescued some orangutans in very good conditions. They're very frightened, but they're still healthy. And we've rescued orangutans in very bad conditions. For the very young ones, we're unable to re-release them back into the wild for quite a long time. They're going to have to go through our rehabilitation process. But for older individuals who are not injured and they're not sick, we're able to re-release those into safe areas of natural forest again.
The young apes generally cling on to their mothers for the majority of the time as they grow. Sadly, in the midst of escaping the forest fires, many baby orangutans are left behind by their mothers. Once they are rescued by the foundation, the babies will be brought to the rehabilitation center where they undergo a survival training process.
Basically, what we do is we accept orangutans in all kinds of conditions, as I said. Unfortunately, most of the time, a lot of these are very young babies. They've lost their mothers who have been subsequently killed. And so we're left with the situation of how to teach those babies how to survive in the forest. For example, a baby orangutan in the wild would stay with its mother for around 7 years, and she would invest all of her time into teaching that baby how to survive in the forest, teaching it what to eat, where to range, how to avoid predators. So when that's taken away from a baby, we're left with a situation where we have to teach them those lessons. And that's where they enter into our rehabilitation program, and we have people working day and night with these individuals, teaching them exactly those skills so that they can be returned eventually.
Just like humans, the orangutans suffer from diseases due to the exposure to the hazy weather conditions. Jacqueline explains how the organization she works for gives these animals medical treatment.
Certainly, orangutans are suffering from respiratory diseases. Generally, we've got our medical team who are working around the clock, and current treatments include giving oxygen and lots of vitamin supplements to try and boost their immune system, and just hands-on 24-hour care just to make sure that they don't get worse, and if they do, that we're there to react. So far, we've been lucky with all of our babies. We haven't lost any, but we have had some very serious illnesses. Wild food and fruit availability are also likely to be affected by the fires and smoke, but we don't really know what the longer-term impacts are going to be yet. For orangutans within our care, and we currently care for over 700 orangutans, we have a very high rate of acute respiratory infections and eye infections. The babies, for example, were unable to go outside for many weeks as the smoke was just so thick and toxic, no one could breathe. Some days it was over 3,700 PSI, which is extremely high levels. If you think that normal levels are below 150, 3,700 is almost unthinkable. And it is always the babies that are worst affected by this haze condition, especially in the short term.
The Orangutan Conservancy estimates there has been an almost 70% decline in the orangutan population in Borneo this year to some 40,000 compared to 60,000 10 years ago. In order for these endangered species to live, it's important for them to roam about in a big habitat. Here's why.
This species is the only species of great ape which is largely solitary, and they do need large tracts of forest in which to survive in terms of being able to have access to sufficient food resources. And when that's taken away from them, this is when they're forced into areas outside the forest and when they come into contact with humans, whether that's in oil palm plantations or whether that's in people's local kebuns and gardens. But they do need significant swathes of habitat to survive, and when that's taken away, then orangutans can't survive. There's going to be some spacing issues, that's for sure. They can continue living in the forest, certainly in the patches that haven't been affected by fire. In the patches that have been affected by fire, there's no food left. So we're not going to find them there, for example. And we're really just waiting to see. I mean, there are reports out at the moment that potentially a third of Bornean orangutans are going to be affected by this situation, and that's a huge number. So we're doing what we can from our side, and we're out on rescue missions. We're also responsible for protecting 3,000 wild orangutans in the Maus area. But undoubtedly, these fires are going to have a significant impact on orangutans.
Plans have been made to mitigate the issue through discussions between local authorities and the government. This is to ensure a sustainable plan for the future of these orangutans beyond the current bout of the haze, which is expected to continue until the early part of next year.
Well, we're informed by experts that this El Nino phenomenon is very similar to the phenomenon which happened in 1997, which isn't a good situation because, of course, we had a very prolonged dry season back then and huge fires erupted around the same time. And then the rain started. And then again, there was another event which happened in the new year. And so we're looking at potentially that situation in the future. So from our side, we've made a lot of preparations. We've had a huge amount of equipment that we've bought. We have a lot of teams trained now. We have good collaboration with the local authorities so that they can help us when we have significant fire outbreaks. So from our side, you know, we've put into place everything we can. We very much rely on others and local authorities to make sure that they've also got plans implemented. We've had a lot of discussions with governments, both from a provincial and district level, right up to a central government level as well. I mean, this situation has been really, really difficult for everybody, especially in central Kalimantan, where the smoke has been so thick and so toxic that people simply can't even go outside. We very much hope that we will have all the support we need over the coming months to make sure that we can get through this period as best as we can, with as many orangutans saved as possible.
Unfortunately, orangutans have more to fear than just a fire. The flames and smoke are pushing them out of their already reduced habitats, and they are moving closer to human villages. Recent reports state the apes are being attacked by villagers, with some people hurling rocks at them. But why is this the case?
People are scared, to be honest. I mean, the only reports I know of myself conclusively are ones of orangutans that we've rescued. In situations where orangutans have been attacked, often it's a case of people just don't understand. They've never seen an orangutan before, often, and they certainly haven't seen an orangutan in close proximity to their homes or farms. And that leads to panic. Sometimes they try to do the right thing, and that doesn't work out either. But generally, they're not educated about orangutans and how to behave around them and what to expect. And so that's why you see a lot of this conflict issue. So other situations occur, for example, where orangutans are feeding on their produce in their farms. People see them as pests, and they'll try and chase them away or they'll try and move them away. And that can often end up in a serious negative situation as well. So a lot of it's to do with understanding of how to behave around orangutans, but it's very true that orangutans are still being killed every day across Kalimantan, and we really do need to make sure that we are there to support the orangutans and also make local people aware of the situation. Around all of our areas of work, we do huge amounts of work with local communities. We have community development projects surrounding each part of our projects because we know how important it is that the communities are well informed and they're supportive. I mean, if you don't have an educated and supportive community around you, then you don't have a project that's going to work, basically.
Actions have to be taken right away in terms of regulating the burning of the forests in Borneo to ensure the orangutan's habitat is intact.
I just think this is a global issue as well. This isn't just a local issue. From our point of view, we still need a lot of support in making sure that everything we do contributes to the future survival of orangutans. But we really do need the global community to help us and to react to this so that we don't see another event like this in the future, because it's very difficult to put orangutans back and to regrow forests. It's much easier and it's much more economical to save forests as they're standing. And we really need to take action to make sure that that happens. Otherwise, we can't certainly guarantee the future survival of this species.
That was Jacqueline Sunderland Groves, Deputy CEO at the Borneo Orangutan Survival Foundation, which is based in Kalimantan. I'm Cheryl Kaur, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.